Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
All right, what a huge win last week. Obviously, I mean, there's really no other way to put that. I mean, he went in the swamp for the second time against Stoops. I mean, it took 30-something years so to get one of those wins, and he's done it twice now, and it was pretty good. It was a pretty – I mean, I wouldn't say a dominant performance in the first half. Absolutely not. Second half, yes.
In the second half, we won handily.
Yes. First half was – they still haven't played. They've been pretty sloppy so far. I know it's kind of weird to say it to you, just beat someone in the swamp, but they're still shuffling that offensive line, trying to figure out how to get things going. I mean, Flax didn't have one of his better games, obviously, in the first half. But second half, they got together, and the defense played lights out. I mean, how big was with getting Jordan Wright back? I mean, without him, do we win the game? I don't know.
He had the biggest individual impact on the game.
He and
J.J. Weaver.
Yes, I agree. Oh, and I actually think Jones played a really good game too. They really did stick to their game plan, and you know, everyone was talking shit about, I think it was Square or Weaver, one of the two was talking about how this guy is going to do this against us. We're going to really not let him run and stuff like that. And they didn't. I mean, the tone was set at the very beginning when Jaquez Jones just laid him on the turf. He was trying to dance back there, and that was kind of like, okay, he's not going to be doing this against an SEC team. Utah, okay. Kentucky, not so much. And Kentucky looks like they got a dominant defense. I mean, the best one they probably had since 2018.
And they did such a great job of just containing him. I mean, it was just almost like a bracket coverage. If you rewatch the game, just making sure he didn't get the, you know, outside lanes.
I mean, they didn't need much motivation for it either. I mean, these guys, they talked him up all week long like he's the next Cam Newton, Vince Young, which is nonsense. The guy hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet.
Yeah.
This is two games in.
Where's Vito Tisdale? He's hot dog water.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he doesn't hold back, does he? But at the end of the day, the guy hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet, but everyone's holding him like he's the next Cam Newton. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy talk.
I think he has.
If he was the next Cam Newton or Vince Young, Dan Mullins would still have a job.
Yeah, that's pure true. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was a really good win. I do think Florida's a solid team. If you look at the rest of Florida's schedule, they're probably going to finish 8 or 9 wins. You beat an 8 or 9 win Florida team, kind of in transition here. They probably that's a good win. That's going to be a good win for us at the end of the season.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think their ceiling is 7.
Really? I mean, look at their team. So you got to think with now. I don't know. We're not getting too much into Florida, but they play Missouri, South Carolina, both wins. That gets them at 3, right? Florida
I think
State,
South Carolina can beat them.
No, stop, Chris.
Dude, love South
stop.
Carolina.
I do not love South Carolina. I think they're even in terms of talent and coaching.
Stop. No, stop. The coaching, I think.
They're definitely not even in talent.
Okay. I'm going to tell you this. If you can say confidently, if you can say confidently that Spencer Rattler is a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson, then you're in trouble. And that's true. Spencer Rattler is better than Anthony Richardson.
I don't know about that either. I don't know. Yes. I've seen enough of Spencer Rattler. I mean, dude's threw three interceptions last week. I mean, they got another one. It's got like 2 touchdown passes and like 5 interceptions. I mean,
he's terrible. Richardson's terrible.
Yeah. I don't know if Richardson's terrible. I think Richardson is more of a guy that this is his first year really as the full time starter. But I think Rattler. I mean, the guys. I mean, how many opportunities that guy's had? I think we know what we got with him.
Rattler proved he's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we're not going to get too much into South Carolina and Florida, but overall, I mean, what was your all's feeling on the game? I mean, were you all just like, I was almost in shock a little bit. I thought Kentucky was going to win the game, but it was like, it's really weird to me still to see Kentucky dominate both sides of the ball on the line.
The second half, I was just shocked to see how much our offensive line improved after halftime. That was a nice sign to see.
What do you feel like, Chris?
Any more, like, if you're surprised by Stoops' defense as being really good, I don't know where you've been. I don't like how everybody keeps acting like, oh, my God, Kentucky just shocked the world. Again, it's kind of the same thing with the recruiting class. It's like, I can't believe that we're recruiting this way. Dude, we've been recruiting this way for 6 years now. Okay. It's not this foreign thing anymore. Kentucky's been one of the best defenses, one of the best 10 defenses in the nation consistently the last 6 years. So I don't.
That's good.
I'm never surprised by how good the defense is anymore. Some of the plays that the defense made, like, really stepped up, where in the past we would probably give them a better chance, like that play. You guys know how critical I've been of Carrington Valentine. That play, one-on-one, for him to out-muscle somebody who outweighs him by 30 pounds and get in a good enough position to knock that ball away, and then have the ability to hold that guy back from catching the tip.
Yeah,
that surprised me.
He had the highest grade, right? They got pro Football Focus, whatever you want to call it. They give out grades. Valentine got the highest grade. I think they threw at him six times. They only had two catches on him, and he had the four deflections. I mean, that's what you kind of want to see. I mean, the staff was really high on Valentine coming into the season. So, I mean, they said he's really dedicated himself, and he got some confidence. I mean, Chris was right. He got picked on a lot last year. But the guy played a lot of snaps. I mean, you can't take that away. The guy got a lot of experience last year and got kind of thrusted into the spot to have to play there. So
lockdown corners don't get thrown at. Lockdown corners don't get thrown at.
Well, but he's starting to lock down now.
Well, he's starting to prove he's locked down, so we'll see how the season goes.
The big thing that's going to come out, I mean, the defense, I mean, our front seven, I don't know if there's many better than us. I mean, maybe like I haven't seen a lot of Alabama and stuff like that, but I mean, maybe those guys, Georgia. But I mean, Kentucky's front seven. I mean, they're good. I mean, they're deep.
That's
there
really
too.
Solid.
And they're intelligent.
Going to hurt a little bit. Yeah. I'll tell you, that was a huge loss for us. In terms of depth. But outside of that, I still think they're talented across the board. Everyone.
Yeah.
This is a better defense than 2018. And 2018 is probably the best defense Kentucky's ever had.
We're super deep. The football IQ is really high because of the leadership on the defense. How many people? This is their fourth, fifth, sixth year. That just spreads around to everybody. So, like, we're really deep. We also have the athletic ability that Kentucky's really never had in terms of speed and size and depth. And that really showed, like, maybe my favorite play of the game when Deion Walker just ran through, well, tossed the center to the side obliterated the friggin' running back. I mean, that's just like, to me, that's such a sign of things to come with this recruiting class that are true freshmen. It's these dudes are like real difference makers that Kentucky really hasn't ever had.
You know what the most impressive part about that play? I'm with you, Chris. That was one of my favorite plays of the game. But the most impressive part was that was under like 4 minutes left in the game when the game was still on the line. We had a true freshman in there making a play like that.
And that's just demoralizing to a team playing at home. And they have it in their heads that they've just destroyed this program for 30-something years and blah, 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 blah. For them to lose like that and for Kentucky to make statement plays like that, man, that's like – that had to suck. That had to suck being a Florida fan.
What's the crazy part is Florida, they were going for it like their own side of the ball. Like
non-stop. Yeah, at the 30. Like, what are you doing?
It was crazy. I mean, this to think that they were have zero confidence in their defense to make a stop or to get the ball back was a bizarre thing to do. I mean, maybe he got away with that at Louisiana, but you're just not going to do that in the SEC and expect to win football games.
Yeah.
But you're all right. I mean, this freshman class, God, it's good. I mean, it is a good freshman class. I mean, guys are contributing. And I'll tell you what, Dane Keene catching a football on a 60-yard bomb. I can't even explain to you how big that is for recruiting. Now kids that are in a senior in high school right now getting recruited by Kentucky as a wide receiver. They look at that saying, well, I can go. Because every senior in high school probably thinks they go to their college and be, you know, showing out and play.
Yeah.
But most of them get there and they don't. And so, you know, they get redshirted or they realize, oh, this game's a lot faster than I thought. But now Kentucky's got a couple freshmen that are playing. And now these guys gives them confidence. Well, I can go. They can do it. I can go in there and play and be damn good. Wide receivers just like them, and I'll tell you, that guy that just decommitted from Auburn, he's probably gonna be Kentucky bound, and it's that we have a receiving core that's, I mean, the flip of our receiving core and it's our skill position is unbelievable the last couple of years.
Next year we'll have one of the best wide receiver rooms in the country because all the guys that are freshmen sophomore now, and then our incoming recruiting class is so damn good that we might not be able to take guys like Carmelo English, who just decommitted from Auburn.
Yes. I think they only take one more wide receiver because they already have pretty good. And he'd probably be the one they take because they've already had a ton of those. But at the same time, I think with the quarterback situation going forward, I mean, with that kind of receiving core and tight ends and skilled, you know, running backs, and our offensive line's always solid. I mean, there's going to be quarterbacks lined up that don't get the starting job that's going to want to come to Kentucky, just like Levis did, or get speed out. You know, I mean, just to say, it's like the quarterbacks out of Texas, those two guys are battling. I don't know, one guy's breaking his collarbone or something like that. I'm just saying, like, it's competitions like that that are guys that are pretty similar will come to Kentucky that are once five-star recruits. Now Kentucky gets the feast on that as far as transfers go. I don't think our future quarterback's on the team. That's just my opinion.
No, same.
And Bo Allen knew that too. That's why he's gone. So, and the guys that are there, maybe they'll see show something, but I just don't. I think Kentucky's looking to get these guys that are backups for Ohio State, whatever. It's not a big deal. I mean, lots of great quarterbacks. Levis is another one that's lined up, just like Joe Burrows and Cam Newton. I mean, we talked about him already. Those are all guys that got started over, and they went on to somewhere else, and they're very successful. And a lot easier now to get them. But yeah, great win. Obviously, Stoops now the winningest coach in program history, and the best coach probably. I mean, people can say Bear Bryant, all this stuff. He only did it in 7 years. I mean, Stoops did it two more years, but the SEC is a lot tougher to win in than it was back then.
Oh yeah,
just is, and it's more impressive to what Stoops has done than what Bryant did, because Stoops, what he got coming in, I mean, I'm not trying to disrespect Mr. Cobble, but I mean, that was our defensive lineman. That was our best defensive lineman when he came in. You know what I mean? Like the guys like that, we just don't. Those are Western Kentucky type talent that are playing for Kentucky. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that was like we never had a defense that was ever going to be good. It was always going to be bend, don't break. And we had some great defense under Rich Brooks as far as like Wesley Woodruff. So, but all of those defenses were bend, but don't break type defenses. None of them were shutdown defenses like we have now.
Yeah.
That's been different. They had to take opportunities and make big plays. But they gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points and stuff.
Kentucky's always had a pretty good offenses. I mean, in my lifetime, we've had some really good ones. Andre Woodson's, obviously Tim Couch's years, and Dusty Bonner's year. Lorenzo, they always had a really good offense. They had really good offensive weapons, guys that would probably play for us now, the talent we have now. But it was always going to be a problem with the defense, and especially in our lines. I mean, our offensive lines and our defensive lines were always going to – we had a couple guys go to the NFL on defensive line and offensive line. But overall, we're just pouring offensive linemen out now to the league. So, I mean, that's where it's changed for Kentucky, obviously the lines and then the defense, the shutdown defense. And you know, like I said, what Stoops has done here is incredible. I never thought we'd ever get to a point where we were actually looking at Sugar Bowls and things like that every year. It's crazy to me. Usually it was Kentucky's gonna have a good year every 4 years, so everybody's a senior, and then we go back and rebuild it. What's your all's feeling on that? I mean, Stoops the best coach ever in Kentucky.
Absolutely.
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Absolutely. I can't
pinpoint anyone else. Maybe the older guys say, you know, maybe Cersei or was that Frank Kersey? I'm sorry, Kersey and Curry maybe, but none of those guys did sustain the success that Stoops has sustained here.
To build it from literally nothing. Kentucky was one of the worst five teams in all of college football, in the hardest conference to play in. So it's not even an argument.
And the most northern SEC team. People ignore that fact of it. It was hard for a really long time to get kids from down south to come all the way up to Kentucky to play football.
Yeah.
And especially at a basketball school, per se, if you want to put it that way, at a school that's not putting a lot of funds into Kentucky football. And it took Stoops coming. Really took really Rich Brooks when they really started like, well, we'll upgrade this here. But it really took Stoops coming and saying, hey, if you want me to stick around, you have to do this stuff. If you're committed to football, you have to do this stuff. And how much we all want to talk about Mitch Barnhart. He did commit to Stoops and putting renovating his football stadium, stuff like that. And other shit that he does now that still makes us all like head scratchers, like rich people can drink at the Forest Camp, stuff like that. That's head scratchers. It was a collective effort to get this football team to where they're at now. And obviously, we just got to, you know, we just found out today that the Crafts are now donating $7 million to renovate their the practice facilities and stuff, which is huge for Kentucky. Take all the politics aside, that is humongous for Kentucky, which means it's less things that the school has to fund.
Yep.
So Calipari crying about his basketball, so he'll probably get it. So that's like I said, huge thing. But you know, a big week this week. Obviously, we're playing their hometown, Vince Merrill and Tomorrow and
Stoops.
And Stoops' hometown team. Stoops
brothers.
Yes. And Youngstown State, which is a really good FCS team. I don't really like playing FCS teams. I think I've said this over and over again. Every year I say the same thing. I don't think you really get much out of it. No. I think, if anything, it can hurt you more than it can help you.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, only bad comes out of teams.
Only team that I know, there's only a couple teams that I know regularly will play like a Mercer and stuff like that, like beat them 56-0 and they get all their stars rested. Kentucky's not one of those teams, or at least they haven't been at this point. Usually they play really shitty. It's always a noon game. And it's always like we get no rest out of it. So hopefully it changes this week. Huh? I would say Youngstown State right now is better than Chattanooga was last year.
Yeah, they put up quite a few points in one of Kentucky's previous receivers.
Last week, Bryce Oliver.
Yeah, and they also have a really good running back. I know he's almost ran for 400 yards. He's averaging 10 yards a carry. Yep. Like I said, this is an FCS team. We should beat them by 35, absolutely. But this is also, you got to think this team is very much like a Stoops team. They're not going to just lay down and let you just beat the crap out of them. They're going to buckle it up, and they're going to try to give you everything they got. It's a blue-collar town, yep. Blue-collar people. There's a reason why. You know, Oliver probably went there, you know, because Stoops probably gave the good word for him. But you should expect a tough matchup this tomorrow. I do think I've been back and forth on the spread. I think it's 27. What was it, Mike? 27.5?
Something like that, yeah.
I think I go back and forth on it. I actually think that's kind of high. Kentucky doesn't necessarily beat teams that bad.
Well, especially coming off an emotional,
yes,
hard-fought victory, even though the Florida game looked in the second half looked pretty easy. It's traditionally even Stoops' best teams, they come out kind of flat against these teams.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they just
give me friggin' heartburn. Yeah. But it is what it is.
Like 2018, that I can remember. 2018, they played Mike. That was your wedding year, right? 2018.
No, I got 2016 as my wedding year.
2016. Okay, it's 2016. Close, I'm sorry. Close. Two years ahead. So 2016, Mike's wedding night was Tennessee. What they played? Tennessee State or
Tennessee
Tech.
Martin,
and they beat the crap out of them. That was about the only time I could think of off the top of my head of this an absolute demolishing of an FCS team. I just feel like we just don't play these teams well, and like I said, it's somewhat of a concerning fact from Stoops, because we always talk about it, you know, they always sleepwalk out of bye weeks too.
Well, he even kind of brought it up this week in his press conference that, you know, they've had letdowns in games like this and they come out flat, and he's very much committed to not making that happen, especially since he and Mero and Mike Stoops are going to have so many of their family in town.
Yes. You got to keep them focused. I think this Youngstown State team could probably beat that New Mexico State team we played last year too. Matter of fact, and that's a D1 school per se. I mean, talent wise,
I think so. You keep talking. I'm gonna look at Youngstown State's roster and see how big they are.
But New Mexico State last year, they're terrible. That was a terrible football team too. But anyways, they're going to play hard. They're going to give us all we can get. And I guess you get somewhat out of it. But I do think Kentucky's going to come in and throw a lot more. They're going to try to protect the running backs that's been banged
up. You think they're going to throw more? See, I think they're going to come out and run more.
I think they're worried about injuring any more of those running backs, man. They're trying to get home to C-Rod.
They want to get the young receivers and young tight ends a bunch of action.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like this game's huge for the offensive line to build confidence, man. Like,
they need work in pass defense. That's what they need work in. That's they need pass pro.
Yes.
Yeah, they need pass protection, but man, they were struggling to run for the first half of the UK, running, the four
games. They were, but if you see these breakdowns of these teams, or people break down these clips of them, the offensive line is doing what they're supposed to do. The running backs simply aren't going right.
Running backs aren't reading right?
No. Like, there was one play where Smoke should have kicked it out. Oh, that's what the play calls for. And he runs forward. I mean,
he could have got like 20 yards if he makes the right read.
Yeah, and I'll give it to Smoke. Smoke had a really good game against Florida. I thought he kind of shut him down at the end there. Obviously, Wright did have a good day. I thought they did a pretty good job, both the running backs. But at the same time, man, like, they're banged up there. You know, we can't afford to lose anyone else there that rising right now. And I'm gonna tell you, Northern Illinois the week after.
That's gonna be a tough game.
That's a tough game. Yeah,
that's a trap game. I wouldn't be surprised if Kentucky's only like a 10-point favorite there. That team is a good team, a good football team. I thought Kentucky did a really good job with their non-conference scheduling two MAC teams that are really good. That are good teams. They're bowl teams, I should say. They're not good teams.
Yeah, they're at the top of their conference.
Northern Illinois is picked to win their conference. Both they were picked to win their divisions, but Northern Illinois is the ones picked to win the conference. And I'm gonna tell you, they're gonna come ready to play too. And you got this week, I think you gotta, I agree with Chris, get the offensive line working on their pass protections, get Levis. Levis needs a big game. You know, kind of get him loosened up too. The last two games we kind of, he did good against Florida, but I mean I thought he could have done better.
He took some shots in that first half against Florida. Though.
Yeah. He's been pretty meh. But at the same time, like, if you can't trust your offensive line and your running backs to block for you and give you time back there, you are going to be antsy. Well,
if you watch, though, when he does have times, it seems like he makes the right reads and has a huge play.
The thing is with Levis, what everyone loves about him is his huge arm. I mean, he does make good decisions. I agree with you on that, Mike. But he actually said there's a couple things too. First off, Chris, I told Mike this, but that I thought was interesting. One, when he got lit up after Flax, you know, missed his block. We all thought he missed his block. Yeah. Actually, Levis said that was his fault. That was a hot read. He's an open runner. They knew he was going to be an open runner, and Levis simply held on the ball too long.
Mm.
And he said that at the end of, because they basically were blitzing more than we had to block them. So he said that was my fault. I got lit up by my own doing because I should have got rid of the ball. We knew there was going to be an open runner at me, and I guess Flax picked the linebacker and not the defensive lineman. I don't know if that's right in their scheme or not, but they have to pick. I mean, whenever they're sending more guys to block, you got to pick your guys, and Levis just got to get rid of the ball. And I can't believe that's not targeting. That's insane to me. I don't know what that rule means. I thought if you get hit in the face, it's a targeting every time. Don't get me wrong. I feel bad for the Florida guy. It was a good play. I feel bad for the Florida guy from the sense of, like, I can only imagine how hyped you get when you get this kind of free run at the quarterback, not even touched. I mean, you get pretty hyped for that. You can't expect a guy to slow down and say, oh, well, I can't hit him in the face. I get that from an aspect of it. But at the same time, I mean, I thought if you get hit in the head, it's no-brainer.
Yeah, man. The crown to the chin is usually an ejection.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. At least the way the world used to be. But that's one thing. And the one thing I was going to tell Chris was, Levis after the game was someone asked him about. We all saw him looking away from the field goal and stuff like that. And they said, "Well, you scared about him missing?" He's like, "No, I just want to see the reactions of the fans for Florida realizing they're going to lose the game." That is tough.
I love that.
That's funny. Yeah. That is really, really funny, and something he can say because he's never going to play Florida again, so he doesn't have to worry about it. So
he went undefeated.
And he's never lost to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain guys that can come out here and just say, you know what, F Florida, you know, all this stuff, because they can't use it for material next year because Square, Jacquez Jones, those guys are not going to be in Kentucky's uniform next year, so it doesn't matter. So those guys were all, you know, given whatever takes you want that are funny. When Levis said that, I was like, God, this guy gets it. This guy gets it. I love how they sugarcoated too. Like, oh, Kentucky's only beaten Florida three out of five times. Like, all right, since 2016, Kentucky's got a better record. Like, let's stop.
Yeah.
Kentucky's is a better team than Florida right now. So,
yeah, they're a better program, period.
Better. It is. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, so I think they're going to throw a lot more. I think we're going to see a lot of defense trying to move guys around, probably get some of the other guys that usually don't get snaps, get them some snaps in there too. They can do. This is a game where you can see some of the younger guys. Maybe Walker gets a lot more playing time. He's getting a lot now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
Love is going to get a lot of reps, especially with Geiger out.
I think Walker, they don't even think they use him as a redshirt. I think he just plays rush here because I think they're viewing him as he's a 3-year guy. So
at this point. So Youngstown has a big offensive line, but at every other position they are small. Really small.
Even on defensive line?
Even on defensive line. Like their biggest defensive lineman is 6'2", 307.
Yeah, that's not that good. Not good. Not good, Bob. Not good, Bob.
But at the same time, look how we played against Miami of Ohio, and they had tiny dudes too, and they just kept running stunts and twists and confusing the shit out of our offensive line.
I think ultimately what happened there was Horsey. I think putting him out there left tackle is what needs to happen. Be there at left tackle. I think he was always going to be moved down to guard, so you kind of thrust it in there. But I think they do. I think you obviously see him. The struggles from our offensive line, the obviously not having any reps is from our previous O-line coach being really shitty and not getting reps for the younger guys. And that's what I was trying to tell you guys in our group text was, you know, these guys just need reps more than anything. The more reps they get, the better they go. I think this offensive line is going to be just fine by the time they go to Ole Miss. They'll have the rotation down there. But the offensive line we're going to be seeing this year is more what we saw for the Big Blue Wall on these Schlarman, that's, you know, running eight, nine guys out there, getting a lot of playing time, a lot of fresh bodies out there. So that's going to help us for the future. But did Goodwin play at all against Florida? I didn't pay attention. I know he didn't against Miami.
Who's that?
Goodwin.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit too big of a bond for him.
If he did, it was only for a couple reps.
So he's going to play. He's going to play a lot the next two games, I think.
I agree, Chris. The offensive line's a weird position. You don't want to throw a guy out there against a Florida defense that's going to stunt, and then they're going to know that they're going to come right after you on the offensive line, and basically there's nothing you can do about it. They obviously saw Flax as the weak point of the tackles, so they went after him, and you saw that happen. So you can imagine throwing a freshman out there. Now he does have the size, but you don't want to kill a guy's confidence right off the gate like that. So he will have significant minutes by the end of the season. Wouldn't be surprised if they kick Corsi back down and put him out there by the end.
If he's playing well,
yeah, of course. So what are y'all feeling like, man? What's y'all's offense, defense, MVPs?
Defensively, I'm gonna go with shit. What was I about to say? I'm gonna go with Fari. Sorry, I just completely drew a blank there. I like Afari. I think he's going to get a lot of snaps. I think I'm going to go and call it. Afari is going to have a pick six.
Oh, okay.
Jesus.
I'm calling it right now. Well, I called my defensive touchdown last week. I'm going to call who scores it.
Just hold on, Mike. May I say that all three of us said something of the sort right before Jordan Wright picked that ball off.
What's that?
Right before Jordan Wright picked that ball off in our group text, we all said defense is going to get a turnover here.
Yeah, we did.
And then boom.
For the most part, Nick and I were pretty spot on our pregame show last week. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, we were. I mean, I picked it 28. I think I picked 28-10.
Yeah, I was 28-17. I mean, we were all pretty spot right on.
I just didn't – I was not impressed. I mean, with AR-15, if they want to call them that. And I still think – Florida's still rebuilding. I think their lines are still struggling. They obviously improved it. Yeah. So.
Malik Cunningham's better. Anyway, sorry, Mike. Sorry I interrupted you.
No, you're good. You're good. So I'm going to go with Afari. I don't know why. I just have a gut feeling he's going to have a big game. Plus, I'm really high on the kid. I think he's going to be great. I'm excited for his future. Offensively, I think it's the offensive line just needs to have a good game. They just need to block. I mean, run block and pass block. But that's – pretty much, they're the ones that need improvement on offense right now.
They need the reps. I agree with Mike on that.
Yeah.
So
final score, though, I'm going to go 42-0.
Oh, shutout. Shutout?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we pitched
I wish I could go that route, Mike, but I've seen the story. We sit in the stands and watch this story. I think Youngstown State probably scores in their first drive, and it's going to be like, what in the world?
Yeah.
I bet it goes in at halftime. I bet we're rolling up like,
14-10.
Yeah, something like that. It'll be something stupid where you're like, man, they'll probably shut them out in the second half. I'll get to my score in a second. But I think defensively, I guess I'll go the Walker. I'll go the low-hanging fruit. I think Walker is going to have a big game this week and kind of like show the fan base that the freshmen are just coming up, man. They're just coming up. And you just keep seeing it getting better each and every week. And I think just more big – I mean, they're making the big plays. The freshmen are making the big plays. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to see more out of him. Obviously, we've seen a lot out of him so far as a freshman, but I want to see more plays, and hopefully he gets a lot more reps. And like I said, he's going to play a lot more this week. So I think pretty much have big games on a stretch. Offensively, I think it's going to be Will Levis. I think Will Levis is going to throw for 350 yards, four touchdowns. I think he is going to throw a pick. That's something that needs to be worked on. We need to protect that ball. Because you know, some of these teams aren't going to be as forgiving with these interceptions and stuff like that. He's also got to stop. Like, dude, you're not throwing a fastball at a guy 5 yards away from you. Like, stop.
Yeah. Touch it, man. A little excited. And
but again, I don't think NFL gives a shit about it. Is that big ass arm? They get a fast receiver and he throws them up. And that's what he did with Josh Allen. And Josh Allen didn't have touch on the ball for the longest time, but now he does. Yeah. Obviously, he's been in the NFL for a long time. And so Levis will get his nerves under control once one of these days and not do that. So I think it's going to be – I'm with Chris. I think it's going to be 14-10 at halftime, and people are going to be pissed off and talking shit and all that stuff like they always do. But I think they do ultimately cover. I'm only going to say they're covering because me and Mike took them as a cover in our cover bridge. So I got to go that route. I'm not going to bet against the card like Mike likes to do. I'll do 38-10. I'll do 38-10.
Damn it! You stole my score.
Yeah, really. All right, that's one. That's like a half point over the spread. I believe we got. I think it's 27.5. Anyway,
27.5 is what we got, Nick.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, so I'll get 28. They're going to be up winning the 28.
You already said my final score. I think I 100% agree with you. I think I even think Youngstown State could go up 10-0 in the first quarter.
We're not covering now. We're not covering now. So
we're fine.
Okay. Sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah, I think Youngstown State will probably go up 10-0 in the first quarter. Second quarter, Kentucky kind of gets their shit together. 14-10 going into the half, and then runs away with it in the second half, pitches a shutout. 38-10 final score. Offensive MVP, Dane Key.
Very good.
I think he gets about a 6-catch, 1 touchdown, 85-yarder. I think Berrien Brown takes one of the house on kickoff.
Oh, wow.
And I think J.J. Weaver is the defensive MVP.
It's really coming on, man. We're really, really excited to see Weaver playing very good because I thought his injuries really set him back. His injury really set him back. And I think it's good to see him playing well again.
It wasn't talked about very much because obviously Jordan Wright was making the sexy plays. But Weaver was setting that edge every single time. Yeah. He was making it so Richardson would not come to that side.
The linebackers across the board was great. I mean, Square. Yeah. I know.
Square had a great game.
A lot of the things that happened, people don't talk about. They talk about the big plays and like that. But Chris is right. I mean, those guys contained Richardson, made him be a passer.
Yeah.
That was the key to the game. Make him pass because he can't fucking throw.
Yep.
But I think another tone setting play, and that was in the first quarter. I hate that we keep going back to this game because Florida ain't shit. But Jacquez Jones in the first quarter, Richardson had a wide open running lane, and he started going through that lane. Jones broke contact with his man and came around to the middle of that hole so fast and popped Richardson for only a gain of two.
That was an opening drive, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. That's what I was talking about. That's the they set the tone. I mean, that set the tone right there.
Yeah.
Big time, but like the thing is Chris is right. It's really hard because I never really thought Florida was that good. Just not because I don't think they have a lot of talent. They absolutely do, but I think there's a difference in talent between Utah and Kentucky.
Yeah,
and I just do. I think Utah's a solid team too, and who they beat. But I think that people just like was like, oh, they beat Utah. Utah should have won that game.
Yeah, they were driving all up and down the field on Florida.
They should have won that game. They gave it to Florida by missed tackles and I think an interception down the one. So they gave it to Florida, really. But how bad are the Florida fans right now? This making every excuse on the planet. Like it's hard for people to accept that Kentucky now owns them. It's hard.
That's the thing. It's like Florida's last three recruiting classes have been in the top 10. The recruiting class before that was like top 20 or something like that. So they have a shit ton of talent. Yeah. But the difference between Kentucky's staff and these teams like Florida and South Carolina, who get more talent than us in terms of star rankings, is our developmental program. Kentucky's coaches develop the players, and they also recruit dudes who fit their system. They recruit guys who are going to be beneficial to the team, beneficial to the community. They make good decisions. They're smart football players, and they're going to lead eventually.
And, it's also Stoops has those guys back. Like, he'll go to battle for any of those guys. That's a big deal. You could tell guys want to play for Stoops. And you always tell, like, in bowl games where guys that you rarely ever see anyone sit out. That's a surprise.
Stoops was asked something about being a player's coach, and he said, I've been a player's coach before. It was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably true. He goes there for his guys. He battles his guys. And that's why it wasn't a shock when Calipari took a swipe at the football program that he would step up to him. I mean, because these guys are his family. He loves these guys. He stands by them. And like he said after the game, saying, you know, I've gotten to this point not because of me. It's because of you guys. You guys. I mean, you have so many guys out here, the Jimbo Fishers, the Nick Saban saying me. And then you got someone like Stoops that are going, these guys are the ones that make me good. Yeah. You know, we just got him along. And that, you know, that's why guys want to play for him, man. That's why he's going to be successful. I don't think he ever leaves Kentucky. I know people said something about Nebraska. That's crazy. No one ever goes to Nebraska. They fired a guy that was winning 9 games every year. That's crazy. It's beyond dumb. I used to think Ohio State would be the one that he maybe bounced for. Maybe even like a Michigan, because that's kind of like in his recruiting area. But I don't think so anymore. I think he's established in Kentucky and he wants to be here.
I don't think he would even get an offer from Ohio State or Michigan because their fans wouldn't sign off on it. He doesn't play sexy offensive football, and those fans that's what they want to see. They want to see sexy offensive football. He doesn't care about that. He wants good defenses, and he wants to not necessarily ball control offense. But he wants the offense is going to win the game and not beat you.
Yeah, he wants discipline. He plays disciplined football. He always has. You know, that's why when you see a lot of penalties and stuff like that, you just don't. It's not something you particularly see from Stoops and his teams. Like, they're very disciplined for the most part. So,
and Kentucky fans will accept that. I mean, I like the offense now. I think it's going to take a few more games before Scangarello and the offensive players get on the same page. But he's calling really good plays. He's calling the right plays in the right situations. It's just a matter of execution.
Well, yeah, it's like this pass game. I mean, I was a little upset about it too. These little screens he was throwing in the first quarter, but then again, his offensive line would block it for him. So you can't throw a pass play downfield when your quarterback's getting killed back there.
Yeah, he's not happy. Yes. A lot of people were wondering why they went away from the tight ends. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Dingle, by the way. That kid, whenever he gets on the field, he talks so much shit and he makes plays.
Yeah,
loved
it.
He was crushing in the first half.
Tight ends are great. And
Kentucky fans, new Kentucky football fans who don't know shit about football, were pissing and moaning about, you know, why did we go away from throwing it to the tight ends? Well, Will Levis was running for his life.
Mark Florida Stoops makes adjustments. People don't understand that. Florida's going to make their adjustments.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and Stoops wanted to let the defense do what it does and lean on the running game, and that's fine.
It won the game. I mean, essentially, and I've always said this, and I know Mike had to go here, but he would agree with me on this. This was said a long time ago. Actually, it was said by Rich Brooks, and I'll always remember this because he is right. And if you ever think, go back with SEC football, back even like in the 90s, stuff like that, it was just totally different football today. If you want to win on the road in the SEC, you got to play good defense. You got to be able to run the ball. Those are the two things. You control the field on both sides of the ball when you do that. And you don't let – you take the fans out of it too. I mean, you don't like watching a bunch of running plays and then shut down defense. I mean, that's boring when you're the home team and the away team's doing that to you. So, and that's what Kentucky has done under Stoops, and that's what he basically did, and that's why Levis only went for 202. Why risk an interception or a big play when you don't have to?
Yeah.
Overall, great game, great year so far. Really, just got to get to that Ole Miss game without any kind of stupid losses.
I'm scared shitless of the fact that we're number 9 in the nation. I don't like it at all.
I think it's deserving. I don't think there's, you know, I keep going back and forth. Is the Georgia win over Oregon better, or is Kentucky win over Florida better? Because the Swamp is a really hard place to play at, but also I don't think Florida's that great. Definitely don't think they were 12th. Maybe like low 20, top 25, maybe not even unranked. Totally like a total overreaction by everyone to move them up that high. Yep. But I also don't think Oregon's that great. So it's like, and Georgia was in Atlanta, you know, not really at home, but they were in Georgia. So I would think Kentucky could make an argument that they've had the best win of the year. So they definitely deserve a top 10 ranking this early. But I hate rankings this early anyways. I wish they would wait until week 6 to actually drop out rankings. That's when you really know who's good or not.
Well, it's also a thing where our players haven't experienced that kind of pressure yet. They've always been the underdog. So it's like, maybe I'm jaded by past Kentucky teams who get a little taste of success and get in the top 20 or whatever, and then they blow it. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm just scared. I don't think it'll be this week. I think Northern Illinois is definitely one of those ones you gotta watch out for. And it's going to be a night game, which helps us out a little bit better. But that worries me. But anyways, you got Youngstown State. We're going to beat the crap out of them this week, and we're all going to have fun doing it. My son's going to his first game, so
hopefully. Hey, all right. Win.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a good time. Can't wait. Can't wait. So, well, I guess I'm Nick.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Mike. Yeah.
Go Big Blue.
Yes, sir.